In Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu meets up with Esav, Pasuk says, Vayomer Yaakov al na imna matzasi chen beinecha, v'lar hachtam in chasim miyadi, ki al kein ra'isi fanecha, kiros p'nei elokim vatirtzeni. So Yaakov says to Esav that my seeing your face is like seeing the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol, and you have appeased me, you have calmed me. So simple reading of this Pasuk, as we'll see indicated by the Gemara in Sota in a moment, is that Yaakov Avinu was essentially flattering Esav. He didn't really think that he was meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he met Esav, but it was a bit of a exaggerated compliment. That seems to be the Pasuk on the Pasuk. There is a comment of the Chidah in his Nachal Kedumim, which the Pardes Yosef quotes, that has a little bit of a different twist on this. The Chidah writes that there are certain things that you're not allowed to be mistakel in. You're not allowed to be mistakel at a keshes, at a rainbow. You can't be mistakel at the levana, and you can't be mistakel at the kohanim when they're duchene. And the reason for this is that there's some level of kedusha involved or something in the sphere of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so histaklus is inappropriate. And in addition to that, there's a separate iser that you're not allowed to be mistakel b'fnei harasha. So there's certain things that you can't be mistakel at because of a bit of kedusha, and you also can't be mistakel b'fnei harasha because of the sitra achra that is associated with harasha. So says the Chidah, even though histaklus in all these things is usser, but re'iya, simply looking at without focusing, without staring at, would be mutter. So you can't be mistakel at a rainbow, but you could be roa a rainbow. So Yaakov Avinu is saying to Esav, you shouldn't be choshesh that I'm being mistakel at you, because that would be an isser of being mistakel b'fnei rasha. But it's alkein ra'isi fanecha kiros p'nei elokim. I'm only involved in re'iya. I'm seeing you. I'm not misfocusing on being mistakel, just as it's only mutter, those things which are in the orbit of the Shekhinah, histaklus is usher, but re'i is mutter. So that's kiros p'nei elokim, vater tzeini. So that's not pashup shat, but that's what the Chidah says. But the Gemara in Sota, Mem Aleph Amid Beis, understands the pasuk more kibshuto, and that's in the context of the parameters of the Isser Chanifa or Chanufa of flattery. So the Gemara there says as follows. Mem Aleph Amud Beis. So Gemara is commenting on the din is lo sucha lo seis alecha ish nachri. You can't have a foreigner, non-fully born Yisrael as king. And at the time of Agrippas HaMelech, that wasn't the case. It says the Gemara, Tanim Ishmedi Rabbi Nasan, Ba'osa Shah and Nishai Vusona Yisrael Kalaya. So at the time, the Mishnah earlier had indicated that Agrippus, let's pull it up here, 1 second. So earlier. The Mishnah on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph has the following episode. We're talking about Hakel. It says, Agrippas HaMelech Amad V'kibel V'kara Omeid. So when Agrippas HaMelech was the king, so he lain from the Torah during Hakel standing. V'shabchu chachamim, and the chachamim praised him for that. U'kishegiyah lelo sucha l'seis alech ish nachri zol gu'ena of demos. When they got up to that pasuk, he realized that he wasn't a proper king because he was mishpachas avadim. So amr lo al tisiyari Agrippas, don't be worried. Achinu ata, achinu ata. So they comforted him that no, you are really our brother. So to that, the Gemara says on Amud Beis, Tanim Ishmeid Rabbi Nasan, So that was a bad thing that they told him, don't worry, because that was Chanifa. Then the Gemara has Darsha Behudabar Marava Vitamer Bishim and Pazi, Mutal Hachnif Lirisham Balamazah. Even though there is an Isser Khanifa, but you're allowed to flatter Rasha Balamazesh and Amar, Lo Yikare Od Linaval Nadiv, Vichule. And if Shimon Lakish, what's a different pasuk? Kiros Pnei Elokim Batzur Tzeini. So our pasuk here in Parshas Vayishlach, you see from the fact that Yaakov Avinu said Kiros Pnei Elokim Batzur Tzeini that there's no Isser Chanufa towards a Rasha. Because otherwise, how could Yaakov have said this to Esav? Upliga the Rabbi Levi, the Amr Levi, Mashal She Yaakov Esav Lamad Davar Dome La Adam Shezimin Eschavero. The Hikar Boshim Vakish Lahargo. So you invited someone and you realize he's about to kill you. Amrlo Ta'em Tafshil said, taste this Tafshil. Shani Ta'em Kitafshil Shita Amti Bebes HaMelech. Amr Yadale Malka Mistafi below Katale. So, according to this, according to Reb Levi, this wasn't Chanifa. This was Yaakov Avinu trying to scare Esav to say that that he has friends in high places and to scare Esav off from harming him. Okay, so that's the machlokas the Gemara has here. There's an Isser Chanufa. But the machlok is whether it applies to a Rasha. And do we learn from Yaakov Avinu that there's no Isser Chanufa for towards a Rasha? Rabbeinu Bachya notes the following. So if you hold, says Rabbeinu Bachya, that Yaakov Avinu was, if you hold that even a Rasha, you shouldn't be Machnif, he writes, Mashehichnif Yaakov Le'esav Chanufa Kazos Muteres, that certain types of Chanif are going to be Muter regardless. Lefishu Lashem Kolel Shnei Mashmu'uyos Lishvach Ulganai. Because that pasuk could be read in two ways. Sharei ra'isi lashon bizoy. Sometimes the lashon of ri'iya is a lashon of bizoy. V'chein Elohim could also be lashon chol, not lashon kodesh. So you can read the pasuk as a reference to avodah zarah and not chanifa. Okay, Reisi Panecha, Kiros Pene Elohim Vatir Tseini, that I mivaza you the way I mivaza in Vodazara. So the pasuk could have been understood in two ways. Yaakov Avinu deliberately used a sentence that could be interpreted in two ways. And says Rabbeinu Bachavim, Yavin Arash, Lashon Ashvach, Ein Lachosh Vazeh. Because that's what we say, Iu Matin Avshe. So Yaakov Avinu deliberately used the language that could have been interpreted in two different ways, either Lashvach or Laganai. So if Esav chose to interpret Lulishvach, that would be his problem. But Yaakov Avinu could just as well have had Kavanah L'Gnai that is a reference to Avodah Zarah, and therefore that would avoid any potential Isser Chanifa. Rabbi Zilberstein has a story that Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky once had to write a letter on behalf of a chola who was getting medical treatment in summer in Chutz La'aretz. And there was a local rabbi that he needed to reach out to in order to assist this chol in getting the proper treatment, but he wasn't sure how to address the rabbi in this letter. because it sounds like he wasn't an Orthodox rabbi. He wasn't a rabbi that deserved any honorific. So he was trying to figure out, how do you address a letter? He didn't want to say luchvod because it wasn't deserving of kavod. He didn't want to say harav because he didn't hold him to be a rabbi. But he couldn't get what he wanted without addressing him somehow. So he decided to write the letter in English, and he wrote, "Dear Rabbi." So a rabbi in English doesn't necessarily mean rav. Rabbi could be a clergyman of another denomination as well. So he settled on "Dear Rabbi," which wasn't a sign of disrespect per se, but didn't have to be interpreted as a sign of covet. That's precisely, he doesn't quote this Rabbeinu Bachya, or Zilberstein, but that's precisely what Rabbeinu Bachya says. You could have a term that sometimes could be understood l'shvach, and sometimes l'gnai, and it's upon the interpreter to interpret it how he wants. Back to the Gemara in Sota An Mem Alpha Mibes. So Tosas there has the following comment. Tosas on the bottom of the Amud. Why is this not letting me scroll down? Not sure why that's not working. Let's try it this way. So Tosas writes, Diba Maskel call Hamachnif Lechadera. Yesh Lefari Shaloba Makam Sakana. So the Isser of Chanifa is only Shaloba Makam Sakana. Avalba Makam Sakana Mutter. But if you're flattering someone to avoid a Sakana situation, that's going to be Mutter. Kahida Parak Arbin Adarim Ula Azal Ard Israel. Lavi Bahade Tre Bene Chazai. So he was going to Eretz Yisrael, and there are two other people with him. Kam Chad Shachti L'Chavrei. One of them killed the other guy. Amalei L'Ula Yeyus Avdi. So he said to Ula, "Did I do good?" So what's Ula supposed to say? So Amalei, Parah B'Shechita, right on. So Ula there felt that his life was a little bit in danger, because if he didn't tell him that he was right to murder the other guy, he would be next. So you see from there that B'Makom Sakana, there's no Isser. There's no Isser Chanifa. We'll see in a little while the Tshuva of Ramosha, who wonders, what's the Havamina? Why would you have thought otherwise? Why would Chanifa be any worse than any other Avera? We don't say Yehareg Valyavor. But we'll get back to that. However, despite the fact that at first glance, you have to explain what Tosas' Havamina is, that you would have thought that there'd be an Isser Chanifa, even Malkam Sakana, that actually is a position of Rabbeinu Yonah. That at first glance, or the simple reading of Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva, is that even B'Makom Sakana, there could be an Isser of Chanifa. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shar Gimel, Oth Kuf Pei Zayin, he has an Arichas there about Chanifa, the Zedvar Kath HaChanafim. So the first category is Achanafa Shirikiro Ra'o Yada Kiyesh Avel Bekaf Chaveiro, that he sees one of his chaveirim is doing something wrong. The Chihisek B'Tarmis O Kiyachtaish B'Lashon Hara B'Nas Dvarim, and some is violating Lashon Hara B'Nas Dvarim V'Yachlik Lo Lashon Hara Lemor Lo Bal Da'aven, and I'll say to him, no, you define nothing wrong. So that is egregious Chanifa. Then he writes in the next oath, Kuf Peches, V'chayiv Adam limser atzmo l'sakana v'al yathi es nafsho avon ashma kazos. A person should put himself in a dangerous situation rather than violate the Isser Chanufa. And he quotes the Gemara of Agrippus, and he says, Av ke yoshev ala mishpat ein lo l'fached me'anosh yamus shenamar lo segubim na'ish, that if you're a dayan, so then you can't be afraid of anything. So you can't engage in Chanifa there, for sure. But it sounds like he says anyone, even if there may be some potential danger involved, you still can't violate this Isser. It sounds like he understood that if they wouldn't have said what they did to Agrippus, they might have had to fear for their lives, that he might have reacted unfavorably.
That's not the Pashtus. The Mishnah is he was. I mean, he was crying. He didn't sound right. Like he was right. Pasha says he was doing tshuva, whatever it might be. He didn't, doesn't sound like he was upset with anyone.
Right, but Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be understanding that you see from there even b'makom sakana. You're right, but he seems to understand that there may have been sakana implications.
Right.
Okay, now Rav Zilberstein quotes from the Sefer Yad Ketana on the Rambam that tries to limit the scope of this Rabbeinu Yonah. That Rabbeinu Yonah didn't really mean that you should put yourself in a situation of sakana to avoid Chanifa. All he meant is that in a situation where there's no ready sakana, then you can't violate Chanifa. So you know he says Chayva Adam Limser Atzmo Lisakana. He doesn't mean a real sakana. It's an outside chance of sakana. That maybe there's some outside possibility, but if there's a real chance of sakana, then not. And the only time that you have to be concerned, even there, is where there's a major parhesia component, like the case of Agrippus. So that was b'nei am ve'eda, literally, that was at Hakel. So place with piersum like that, so then you have to be more careful because there's potentially more chil Hashem. But short of that, you don't have to be, even Ben Yoda wouldn't say that you actually have to put yourself in a situation of sakana. So in terms of the Isra of Chanifa among the Moni HaMitzvos, so the Pasuk in Parshas Maaseh, Perek Lamed Hei, Pesukim and Beis Lamed Gimel, Pesukim say, V'lo sichu chofer lanus al ir milklato lashuv lashabes baritz ad mos hakohen. So you can't take a bribe, a kofer, to prevent or save the Roseach B'shogeg from going to your miklat. So the Sefer Yireim quotes this in his Minyan HaMitzvos, Lo Sachanifu, Simen Reish Mem Ches. He quotes that Pasuk, V'tanya B'sifra, Harei Zuas Hara, L'chanafim. Harei Mifarish Perish Chanufa, Shezira Le'atorah, Kol HaShemeya Davar Avlo, V'sheino Hagun, A roa davar ra. If you hear something bad going on, if you see something bad, v'yamar tovu, v'eino shosek mitoch yira, lo migufa v'lo mimamono, ala mitoch resha levavo. So if you see something bad going on, and you encourage it, you don't remain silent, not because you're afraid or not because there's a potential financial repercussion for not speaking up, but because fundamentally you're not bothered by it. So he doesn't want to burn bridges or get on his bad side. So interesting, the Yireim limits the applicability of Chanifa to a situation where you don't have not only a sakana situation, but it sounds like even if there's a financial, there may be financial repercussions for not engaging in Chanifa, it sounds like maybe that's at least not the Isser Daraisa. But if you stam chanfin someone where there's no material or physical gain, then that is the Saveira. And he goes on to quote the Maisa of Agrippus. The smack as well counts as a mitzvah reish kavtes, connecting it to shalol lahader pnei gadol, sadar pnei gadol, that you shouldn't unduly give kavod where it's not deserved. And he writes bechlal zeh shalol lahachnif, and chanuf is included in that iser as well. And Chavetz Chaim in his psicha to sefer Chavetz Chaim lists all the possible lavin that a person could be over when speaking about others. So in that list, the number 16 is the Isser Chanufa, which he notes, as we just saw in some of the Moni HaMitzvos, may be a lav gamur in the Minyan HaMitzvos. Ramosha has the following analysis of this Isser. Chelik Beis Simen Nun Aleph, Igros Moshe Arachayim Chelik Beis Simen Nun Aleph, in the context of the following shaila. He writes that there is a doctor who was sought after, whose expertise was needed and appreciated in the community, who was a Baal Midos Rachamim Vitzdaka in an extreme way, and he did many good things for the community, but he was intermarried. So since he was intermarried, they wouldn't give him an aliyah and shul. However, they didn't want to turn him away, turn him off. And sometimes they gave him a psicha. And they're worried that the only reason he still comes to shul is because of his elderly mother. But if they're not going to treat him nicely, then once his elderly mother dies, he'll have no more connection to the community. And then he won't be as available as he has been for assisting the community with their medical needs. So Moshe says, as far as the actual act of giving psicha, he says to give someone an aliyah, if they're a kofar, so then you can't give a kofar an aliyah. But if stam litei avon, someone's intermarried litei avon, but not necessarily midot kvira, so there's what to talk about how firm the issur is, even though it's not advisable and practice shouldn't be done. But he says, as far as psicha, so then there's no technical minia in giving someone psicha, but the issue is one of chanifa. So is that a violation of chanufa, flattery, to give this doctor psicha in a way that's showing him some kind of kavod? So Ramosha has the following analysis, starting off the Tosas that we looked at before. He writes as follows. Yesh lo demedavar chadash. He calls Tosfos that b'malkam sakana, it's mutter, raya from the Gemara Nedarim, but the Maisa of Ula. So he says, what's the Havamina? Why would you have thought that there's an Isser Chanifa even b'makom Sakana? So in the case of Ula, so maybe there would have been a Havamina that maybe you could have argued it'd be Asir to be Machnif because that was in the context of Ritzicha. So maybe there's a certain Abizrayu de Ritzicha involved. That if Ritzicha is Yehag Val Yavor, so to chant and summon a violating of murder, then maybe there's an element of Avizrayu, de Gimel Chamuros, which would also be Yehag Val Yavor, and that's why Tosfos has to address that that's not the case, and there's no Isser Chanifa even in that situation of Sakana in the context of Ritzicha. But short of that, why would you have thought otherwise? So he writes, "Lakein zarech lomar du rak bechanufa lomar al davar rav v'iser sha'asa sheyeus avad." So the kind of chanifa that's aser, where you would have had a havamina that maybe it's aser even makom sakana, is where you're encouraging and condoning a certain averas, and that's like the comment of the marshal in Bava Kama that to encourage or to express a ziyuv hatorah may also be a yahrag val yavar on some level. So to encourage and to endorse averos, maybe that's ke'ein some kind of a ziyuv hatorah. You would have at least had a havamina that there should be an iser even b'makom sakana. So based on that analysis, Ramosha says the only real Isser Chanifa is where you're actively encouraging or condoning or endorsing violation of an Avera. So in this case, where they're giving the doctor Psicha, they're keeping a relationship open, but not in any way endorsing his private life or not in any way endorsing what Averas he is involved in. And he says that pshat by Yaakov Avinu also. Chenu de Yaakov, Darmer le Esav, ki akenu isi panecha, shu gam kein kish shikar hadin, shrei asil stakal b'tnei adam rasha. So there, that's called chanifa because he was violating halacha of being stakal b'tnei adam rasha. So there, that's where chanifa comes in. But Ramosha says to bin machnif bin yanim shalosh shayachim lomer shemaskim leisurim. Udvar Maram Shaosa, if you're not in any way condoning what he does in his private life, so maybe there's no iser at all. So if you have someone who's a Mechal Shabbos, or someone who's intermarried, and you're saying that he's handsome or that he's smart or intelligent or he has midos XYZ, so that's not an iser chanifa bechlal because you're not being misyaches to the iserim that he's violating. So especially where there's a communal interest in keeping this guy somehow connected, you want to give him psicha. So as long as there's no formal iser involved, which Moshe says there isn't, then there wouldn't be any violation of chanifa either, because you're not addressing his non-performance or violation of mitzvos or averas. Rav Zilberstein has a similar shaila along these lines, where there was a doctor in Eretz Yisrael, or maybe it wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, a doctor who had left the fold and was practicing another religion in public. And the question was, can you be machtif him also with the intention of keeping him connected and keeping him in position to help the community? So along these lines, he passed in the same way, as long as it's not an endorsement of his activity, as opposed to another shaila that he got, where there was a city in Eretz Yisrael where the mayor came to Shul on Yom Kippur wearing a regular leather shoes, and the gabbai gave him an aliyah. So afterwards, they asked Rav Zilberstein the shaila, was it appropriate to give the secular mayor who came to Shul on Yom Kippur wearing shoes an aliyah? Because they're worried that, I'm not sure what the source of the worry was, but the way he presents the shaila is they're worried that if they didn't give him an aliyah, then he'd close all the shuls in town. Not sure what the connection is, or how that would work, or if he was really expecting an aliyah anyway. So he said he discussed this with his brother Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who said that even if they would close all the shuls in town, it's still usher to give this guy an aliyah. The explanation being that here this is a perhesia. It's the guy is violating an iser of ne'ila sandal on Yom Kippur in a very public way, and then to give him a public kibud while violating that iser publicly would definitely be chanifa, he says, even according to Ramosha's parameters, and therefore even if they were to close all the shuls, that would you still can't give him an aliyah. He also quotes, Zilberstein also quotes, that the fact that Moshe doesn't address that he said Rav Yashiv raised is that in the context of a kibbutz and shul, even if there's no chanifa, the question is whether there's a bizayon haTorah involved. That if you're giving the doctor a kibbutz in order to keep him connected, even though you have sincere motivations in doing so, so if you're giving that kind of public recognition to someone who is intermarried, maybe there's a level of bizayon haTorah, bizayon laTorah there as well, that you're having him do psicha and take out the Torah. That's not right. So because Rav Yashiv raised that as a question, beyond chanifa, maybe in that situation or Moshe, that would be a factor as well. Okay.
Resolvement, in the case of the aliyah, beyond the chanifa issue, would there be a separate issue just in terms of Inu Yom Kippur? Just like if the person was fasting, right? If the person couldn't get an aliyah, right? If you don't fast on Yom Kippur, you don't fast on the Tainus Esther, on the Tainus, you can't get an aliyah.
Right.
So too, in terms of you're not participating in Inuyim, would that be a problem in terms of that?
I don't think, definitely if you hold that Shari Inuyim are the Rabbana and as most Rishonim hold.
Right.
So you'd probably distinguish. Lemaisa, I don't, Lemaisa, I think if someone, let's say for medical, if someone's not eating because, for a medical reason, they can't eat. So you don't get an aliyah. If right. Someone's wearing shoes for a medical reason, I think because we assume, like the Rishonim that Shari Nim is only the Rabbanan, I don't believe that's the case. I think you can still give them an aliyah. It may not be appropriate because, people may not know, or it's, there's a certain public, element there, but Mikra Din, I don't think it's the same.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. The next two weeks are Hanukkah. Are we still on?
I have no Hanukkah parties to go.